takes away the sin of the world. That should sound familiar to all of us, and I'll talk about this towards the end of this homily, but that phrase, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," is so packed full of meaning and so important and so central to our faith. I mean, it encompasses the gospel, what we believe as Catholic Christians, that I'm just going to spend the whole homily talking about that one phrase. You know, John had an understanding of who Jesus was. We sometimes, when we read the New Testament, we realize a lot of people were confused about who Jesus was. You know, and even the apostles at times were confused. It's noteworthy that John, from the very beginning, knew exactly who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he knew who Jesus was and why he came. And that's why that phrase is so central and important for all of us. So what did John want the people around him to understand? And what would they have understood? You know, being Jews, they would have understood temple worship and the practices of Judaism. And so the first thing that they should have thought of was the daily sacrifice in the temple. You know, this goes back to a commandment that God gave Moses in the book of Exodus, that two lambs would be offered every single day, sacrificed every day for the sins of the people. And in Jewish practice and in understanding, and even in our Christian understanding, there's a fulfillment of this, but the way this worked was the animal took upon himself the sins of the people and then was sacrificed, in a sense, paying the penalty for those sins. In the Feast of Yom Kippur, they actually used a goat, and the high priest would place his hands on the goat, symbolizing the transfer of all the sins of the people to that goat, and then the goat was sacrificed, driven out from the community. And that's where we get the phrase scapegoat, right? The goat was taking the sins, this transfer of sins from us, people who sin, to an animal, and then the animal's guilty of sin and needs to be killed. The penalty for sin is death. So that's what this daily sacrifice was in the temple. There was a great trumpet blown called the shofar, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. every day. So if you were living in Jerusalem, you heard this trumpet, and what you were thinking was, wow, another lamb is being sacrificed for my sins. And so, interestingly, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but Jesus, his crucifixion began at 9 a.m. It says that in the Gospels. It also says he died at 3 p.m. And so here we can already begin to see Jesus as that lamb fulfilling the sacrifice, completing and fulfilling Jewish temple sacrifice. The other thing that the people around John should have thought when he mentioned Jesus as the Lamb of God is the Passover lamb. And I think probably all of us know the Passover story. The people of Israel were in slavery for hundreds of years, and the way they were freed was finally God told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb. This was the Passover lamb. Take some of its blood, put it on the lintel and on the doorposts, which I've seen someone describe would probably look something like this, right? A sign of the cross almost. Put the blood on the doorposts. The angel of death would come to Egypt. And if you had the blood on your door, the angel of death would pass over your house and you would actually be saved from death, the death of the firstborn. And so the blood of that sacrificed lamb saved people from death. Also, in the end, when it was all finished, that lamb sacrifice delivered the people of Israel from slavery. And finally, that lamb, it was a sin offering, was also eaten. It was a meal. It was a Passover meal. So think about all these connections. We've got a lamb being sacrificed. The blood saves from death, delivers from slavery. And then we get to eat the sacrifice, that Passover meal. And so all of these things should have been running through the minds of the people of Israel listening to John. And so when John makes that proclamation, when Jesus comes, you know, again, we say it every Mass, and so we don't think about it very often. It was a very radical thing to say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John was identifying Jesus, the man, with that sacrificial lamb who would do all the things that the Jews had practiced. This Lamb of God, Jesus, would take upon himself the sins of the people and would suffer the penalty for sin for them. This Jesus, this human being, would be the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, whose blood would save them from death. And Jesus was this Passover Lamb who would deliver them from slavery to sin. So you can see in this phrase, there's a ton of meaning. It's the gospel message. It's what Jesus came and did for all of us. And so that's why it's so incredibly important. So Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now John, what he had to say about Jesus was not something he just pulled out of the air. The Father revealed it to him, as we hear in the gospel. But it's also a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. You know, if you read Isaiah chapter 53, we read that every Good Friday at the service. And it explains how the Messiah will be like a lamb that will take on the sins of the people. It says he was pierced for our transgressions. Upon him, the Messiah, the lamb, was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we were healed. He opened not his mouth. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he bore the sins of many. See, that's an amazing passage in Isaiah. 600 years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah is saying, this is what the Messiah is going to do. He's going to take upon himself the sins of the people, not just of the people of Israel, but of the whole world. And he will bear them, and he will pay the price and the punishment for sin. So that's what John's declaring here. You know, Jesus himself at the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal, by the way, holds up the bread and says, this is my body given up for you. He's referring again that he will give up his body in order that we might be free from sin. And he holds up the chalice and says, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. In other words, the blood of the Lamb was shed so that we might have death pass us over and we might be freed from slavery. Interestingly, there's no mention, I was reading this, there's no mention of a lamb at the Passover that Jesus attended, the Last Supper. A lot of people have speculated. Some think it was purposeful. You know, you couldn't have a Passover in Jewish custom without a lamb. But many scholars think, well, Jesus was trying to make the point that he was the lamb. In fact, St. Paul calls Christ, he says in 1 Corinthians, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So that's what John was announcing. That's what John was saying in that one little phrase, behold the Lamb of God. What does this mean for us today? Is this just interesting, you know, information? It means everything to us. I mean, this is the reason we're here. This is what the Mass actually is. We call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because what's happening here, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed once in history. It's only one time that this has happened. But every Mass is a representation to us of that event. If you listen carefully to the words, the prayers we have throughout Mass, there are so many references to sacrifice, to the blood of the Lamb, and to the Lamb of God himself. Think and meditate on these things as we go through the liturgy, but it is so important. We are living here in this liturgy the fulfillment of the Jewish Passover. You know, the Jews, when they celebrated Passover, wasn't just like a remembering. The words in Scripture sometimes are hard for us to translate. It talks about the Passover being a memorial. But in Jewish understanding, a memorial was not just an intellectual remembering. They would relive the Passover. And so if you celebrate a Passover with Jewish people, they talk about it as if it's happening right now. It's me that's being delivered from slavery. It's me that's being saved from death. And that's what happens at every holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's happening again. It's being represented. It's eternal. It's an eternal sacrifice outside of time. So it's a miracle every Mass that we're represented with this sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And one particular part of the liturgy that I want to draw attention to, it's after the exchange of peace. You remember, we sing this here, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. So we say it three times, identifying Jesus on the altar as the Lamb of God. And the priest, during this time, does what we call the breaking of the bread. or the fraction right. He breaks the host, places a small piece in the chalice, and he says this prayer. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's again a reminder of what is happening here. He said, the priest says, through your death you gave life to the world. Through your death you gave life to the world. And free me by this, your most holy body and blood, from all my sins and from every evil. So you can see in that prayer, again, this idea of Jesus accepting our sins and freeing us from the slavery of sin. And then the priest will hold up the sacred host, the body and blood of Jesus, the chalice. And you remember what he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's word for word what's from the gospel this morning. Why does the church do this? You know, it's actually one of the oldest parts of the Mass. There are writings going back to the second century that describe this breaking of the bread and this acclamation of Jesus being the Lamb of God, taking away our sins. It's here because this is the pinnacle of the Eucharistic celebration, and the church wants us to enter into it worthily. The church wants us to prepare ourselves for something incredible that's going to happen. I mean, think about what's being offered to us: forgiveness of sins, saving from death, freedom from slavery, and divine life through the body and blood of Jesus. And the church wants us to pause for a moment and think about these things and prepare ourselves. So the first step in preparing is just to remember this, you know, to remember that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that he took on himself my sins and suffered for me, that Jesus saved me from death, he delivered me from slavery. So remember these things every time the priest raises the chalice and the host at this point in the Mass. And then to remember that we're called to something. You know, St. Paul in the second reading twice says we're called, he says he's called to be an apostle and that we're all called to be holy. You know, we are all called at every liturgy to come forward and to confess this, to say, yes, Lord. You know, and so this is something that I try to do, that I encourage all of you. This is sort of the practical suggestion. I encourage you at that part of the Mass, as you're preparing to come forward, just say a prayer to yourself. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Lamb of God. I believe that you are offering to take my sins away from me. I believe that you died for me in my place. I believe that you saved me from death, that you delivered me from slavery. I believe that you're offering me divine life. That's the best way to prepare to receive the Lord. And our response should also be like the centurion. You know, we have this little part where when the priest says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world, then he says, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. I mean, that is the most truth that we're going to hear that day. Blessed are we called to the supper of the Lamb. And then we say one of the most truthful things we could possibly say, which is, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to receive this great blessing. But that's the way we should respond as we come forward. Say, Lord, I'm not worthy of all these things, but I believe you. I believe what you've said to me. I believe you're the Lamb of God. You're the Passover Lamb. And I want to come forward and receive everything you have for me in this Eucharist. And so I hope, I pray that all of us, beginning today, would come forward at that point in the Mass with a renewed sense of what's happening, that the Lamb of God is being presented to us again, offered to us again, and that when we come forward, we're agreeing to live for him, to dedicate ourselves to him. So compose that prayer as you come forward. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.